Hello, this is Joe Anybody with podcast number 10. I'm going to be reading from VenezuelaAnalysis.com with an article written by Eva Gollinger titled Venezuela, the Imperfect Revolution. I have some music playing off of Pandora Radio in the background. Latin orchestra music, it said. Anyway, here's the article. If you come to Venezuela with the glistening eyes, expecting to see the revolution of romantic and passionate novel, don't be disappointed when the complexities of reality burst your bubble. While revolution does withhold a sense of romanticism, it is also full of human error in the grit of everyday life in a society, a nation undertaking the difficult and tantimonious process of a total transformation. Nothing is perfect here in a country sitting on the world's largest oil reserves, but everything is fascinating and intriguing, and the changes from past to present become more visible and tangible every day. Over 100 years of abandonment, as President Hugo Chavez puts it, the Venezuelan people have awoken and begun the Guantanamo task of taking power and building a system of social and economic justice. But it's easier said than done in a culture embedded with corporate corrupt values resulting from the nation's vast oil wealth, combined with an overall feeling of entitlement. The bureaucracy is massive and often intimidating as the people, including the president himself, struggle to eradicate it in every day and replace it with a more horizontal political and economic model. From the outside, it's easy to criticize Venezuela. Inflation is high, the economy is in a difficult place, although growing, and relations with countries such as Russia, China, and Iran are often painful for foreigners to comprehend. Media portrays much of the power in the nation is concentrated in the hands of one man, Hugo Chavez, and rarely highlights the thousands of positive achievements and successes his government has obtained during the past 10 years. Distortion and manipulation reign among an international public opinion regarding human rights, freedom of expression, and political views opposing those of President Chavez, and a few media outlays portray a balanced vision of Venezuela today. While it's true that there is an awful inflation in Venezuela, much of it has been caused by business owners, large-scale private distributors and producers, import exporters, and the economic elite that seek to destabilize and overthrow the Chavez administration. They sell dollars on the black market at pumped-up rates and speculate at high and hike the price of regular consumer products to provoke panic and desperation among the public, all with the goal of forcing Chavez's ouster. And despite ongoing economic sabotage, the economy still has grown substantially in comparison to other nations in the region. In fact, according to the neoliberal International Monetary Fund, the IMF, Venezuela is the only South American nation to forecast economic growth this year. How do you build a socialist revolution in an oil economy? It's not easy. The Chavez government promotes a green agenda, but at the same time, the streets of Caracas, the capital, are still littered with stinky garbage, and the air is contaminated with black smoke emissions from cars and makeshift buses that go uncontrolled and unregulated. Part of the problem is the government regulation, but most of the problem is social consciousness. Revolution is impossible if the people aren't on board. So the government gives out millions of free, cold, energy-saving light bulbs to replace the over-consuming yellow ones, and programs are underway to achieve a free trade in diesel-consuming cars for new natural gas vehicles. The Chavez administration is funding solar energy exploration and research institutions, building wind energy units along the northern Caribbean coast, and has implemented a major environmental conservation campaign nationwide. Part of this incredible effort resulted from a horrific six-month-long drought that pushed the national energy and water rationing, causing countrywide blackouts that weren't well-received. Ironically, one of the world's largest oil producers is more than 70% dependent on hydroelectric power for internal energy consumption, thanks to the government's past, which were only interested in selling the oil abroad and not using it to improve the lives of their own citizens. Power to the people. The foremost achievement of Bolivarian Revolution, as it's called in Venezuela, is taking the namesake of liberator Simon Bolivar, and has been in the inclusion of the mass majority, previously excluded and invisible in the national politics and economic decisions. What does this mean? It means that today millions of Venezuelans have a visible identity and a role in nation-making. It means the community members, without regard to class, education, or status, are actively encouraged to participate in policy decisions on local and even national matters. Community members organize and councils make decisions on how local resources are allocated. They decide if monies are spent on schools, roads, water systems, transportation, or housing. They have oversight of spending. They can determine if projects are advancing adequately and even can determine whether the workforce should come from, i.e. local workers, versus outside contractors. In essence, this is a true example of empowered people, or how power is transferred from government to the people. For the first time in Venezuela history, every voice is valued. Every voice has the possibility of being heard. And because of this, people actually want to participate. Community media outlets have sprung up by the hundreds. After previously being illegal and shunned by prior governments, new newspapers, magazines, radio programs, and even television shows reflect the reality and color of Venezuela that formerly the elite chose to ignore and exclude. Still, a majority of mass media remains in the hands of the powerful economic elite that uses its capacity to distort and manipulate reality and promote ongoing attempts to undermine the Chavez government. Lest we not forget the mass media role in the April 2002 coup d'etat that briefly ousted President Chavez from power, and a subsequent economic sabotage in December of that same year that imposed a media blackout on all information nationwide. Despite claims by private media outlets alleging violations of freedom of expression, Venezuela remains a nation with one of the world's most thriving free and independent press. Here, almost anything goes, even plots and plans to kill the president or bring the nation economy to its knees, all broadcasted live on television, radio, and print. The contradictions of building a socialist revolution in a capitalist world are evident here every day. The same self-proclaimed revolutionary bearing a red shirt wants to buy your dollars on the black market at an elevated rate. You can get killed in the streets of Caracas for a BlackBerry. Don't even think of whipping out an iPhone in public. Even President Chavez himself now fashions a BlackBerry to keep his Twitter account up to date. Chavez politicized Twitter and turned it into a social tool. His account, the most followed in Venezuela, receives thousands of requests, messages for everything from jobs to housing complaints about bureaucracy and inefficient government. He has even set up a special team of 200 people dedicated to processing the tweets, and he himself responds to as many as he can. Ironically, Chavez has found a way to reconnect with the people in a virtual world. Deals with Russia, China, Iran, India, European nations, and even U.S. corporations are diversifying Venezuela's trade patterns, ensuring technology transfer to aid in a national development and progress, and opening up Venezuela's oil-focused economy. Some question Chavez's deals with certain countries or companies, but the truth is, today, Venezuela's economy is stronger and more diverse than ever before. Satellites have been launched, automobile factories built, and even agricultural industry has been revived thanks to Chavez's vision of foreign policy. When beforehand relations with foreign nations were based on oil supply and dollar input, today they are founded on the principles of integration, solidarity, and cooperation, and most importantly, the transfer of technology to ensure Venezuela's development. Revolution is not an easy task. What is happening in Venezuela is possibly one of the most socially, politically compelling, challenging experiences in history. Massive changes are taking place on every level of society, economically, politically, cultural, social, and everyone is involved. There has been no national curfews, states of emergency, killings, disappearances, or persecutions, political prisoners or other forms of repression imposed under Chavez's reign. Despite the coup d'etat, economic sabotages, electoral interventions, assassination attempts, and other forms of subversion and destabilization that have attempted to overthrow his government during the past 10 years. This is an exclusionary revolution, whether or not everyone wants to accept that fact. Washington's continued effort to undermine Venezuela's democracy through funding opposition campaigns and actions with over $50 million U.S. dollars during the past 7 years, or supporting coups and assassination plots against President Chavez, while at the same time pumping up military forces in the region, have all failed so far. But they will continue. Venezuela, like it or not, is on an irreversible path to revolution. The people have awoken and power is being redistributed. The task at hand now is to prevent corrupt forces within from destroying the new revolutionary model being built. So while things may not be perfect in Venezuela, it's time to take off those rose-colored glasses and see revolution for what it is: trying, alluring, arduous, demanding, and thrilling task of forging a just humanity. That's the Venezuela of today. Eva Goliger is an award-winning author and attorney. Her first book, The Chavez Code, is a best-selling published in 6 languages and presently being made in a feature film. Her blog is www.chavezcode.com. This is podcast number 10 on June 1st, 2010.